Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I am Kai Wright. An estimated 30% of Americans, nearly 100 million people, suffer from allergies and asthma. And in many cases, an increase in the allergy triggers, such as ragweed and poison ivy, have made seasonal allergies even worse. So for this week's Please Explain, Dr. Clifford Bassett, the founder and medical director of Allergy and Asthma Care of New York, tells us what an allergy is and what it isn't. He identifies key triggers from nuts to gluten to the nickel commonly used in cell phones, and he offers both medical and non-medical alternatives to allergies. His book is called The New Allergy Solution, Supercharge Resistance / Medication, Stop Suffering, and it's published by Avery. Clifford, welcome.
Thank you, Kai. It's great to be here. It's so timely, right in the midst of the spring allergy season. A lot of sufferers out there. We have a lot of great content and strategies to help people get through Mother Nature and the season.
Okay. Well, listeners, you've heard it. He's here to help. We want to hear from you. We know that you have questions. So give us a call, 212-433-9692. If you want to ask about your allergies, if you've tried everything and you just really can't figure out what happens next, 212-433-9692 or tweet us at @MiddayWNYC. So first off, it feels like every year we are told this is going to be the worst year for allergies in decades. How do we know that? Should we take that seriously?
Believe it or not, allergy seasons are starting 1 to 2 days earlier each year, each spring, over the last several decades. It is real, and we'll stick to the medical applications of climate change today only. But what's happening, we think, is a variety of factors coming together, creating this triple whammy. The first thing is earlier allergy seasons that's lasting into later in the fall in most areas. East Coast, Northeast is one of those where we are today. And what that means is more time for your eyes and nose and throat to be exposed to pesky pollen blown into your airways, creating allergy misery. In fact, as an aside, I'm seeing more seasonal asthma in the last 3 weeks than I've seen in the last several years, all due to pollen overload. We have more pollen. The pollen itself, according to many researchers, due to air pollution and other factors in urban landscapes, is causing some of the pollen to be supercharged. It may be more allergenic, more problematic. We also know that this longer season, climate change, longer, warmer climates, it's really throwing a kibosh in everything in terms of what we're seeing in eyes and throat every day. In my practice here at Allergy and Asthma Care of New York, my goal is to pre-treat and be proactive. And it's a very important concept called nasal priming. What that means is as you get into the allergy season, it takes a smaller amount of allergen to get into your eyes and nose to cause allergy misery. So we pre-treat and notify our patients, and they're aware of it because they've been tested and they have an allergy calendar. And so we pre-treat individuals with over-the-counter remedies 1 to 2 weeks before their season kicks in, and we're able to reduce and in some cases completely prevent allergy symptoms before they begin. So the goal is to be smart, be allergy savvy, get tested and find out how the Mother Nature and the pollens that you suspect you may be allergic to are playing a role in your individual symptoms, and come up with a really robust, proactive, and active management strategy that includes not just medications, but other activities, avoidance measures, and we'll talk about some of those today.
So what are we seeing? What are the triggers for spring? What are the things that we're seeing more of now?
What we're seeing over the last 3 weeks, particularly in the New York City area, is tree pollen. And one of the most prolific and bothersome issues are birch pollen, followed by oak pollen, and until recently, we've had tree pollen. When I checked the pollen count this morning, I start to see now some early grass pollens. And again, if you live in the burbs, you're where there's fresh cut grass, you know who you are. When I was a kid, one of the reasons I became an allergist is I remember I'd mow the lawn, I'd have horrible allergies, and I told my father that I had allergies, and he'd say, just keep on mowing.
Tough luck, kid, mowing.
Exactly. So the bottom line is we need to work smarter as individual sufferers. The 50 million of us around the country and around the many areas, to have a strategy, get tested, find out indeed what am I allergic to, and I have some simple approaches, from simple as hats to keep pollen from landing on your head if you're out in the park during the day and your hair turns into a pollen magnet, sunglasses, and to look at the weather as far as the weather forecast. Wind is not the friend of the allergy sufferer, and it's not only just what's in the air, but it's even foods that you can eat this time of the year, particularly fresh fruits and vegetables, that can aggravate your seasonal allergies. So as an allergist, I decided last year to write a book, The New Allergy Solution, which puts together a lot of what I call my whole body approach to identify triggers, avoidance measures, and things that people can do that actually will get them to the promised land, which is enjoy Mother Nature, enjoy the spring and beyond, but stay healthy. So I'm not focusing on just the symptoms, but the root cause. And some of these things are astounding when we put them together and look at some of the triggers and how we all got here over the last couple of decades. In New York City, in particular, we've been overplanting male plants for the last several decades. And as a result of that, we're replacing less allergenic plants with more male plants. And I see New York City has a new $1 million campaign to get more trees into the urban landscape in our city that are allergy friendly. And I applaud them for doing that. We're working with Canada and other places to try and provide better allergy, less prone plants, trees, and so forth that drive up allergy seasonal suffering. And again, another step at being proactive and modifying, not just to take a pill or take a spray, but to work in a total landscape in terms of this holistic integrative approach to prevent symptoms, manage symptoms. And I know I need to stop talking at this point.
No, we're going to talk a lot, but we want to hope that some listeners can call in and get some specific advice from you about how to do this. Listeners, we want to hear from you. 212-433-9692. Or tweet us at WNYC, tweet us at Midday WNYC. We do have a listener on Twitter who's asked that, you know, they're undergoing chemotherapy and she's wondering if that is affecting her allergies. She feels like they're more intense than they have been. Would there be any relationship between those things?
I can't speak to that specifically, and believe me, I have a great deal of empathy for anybody going through chemotherapy and have a cancer diagnosis, personal experiences in my family, so I understand what that could be like for her and her family. However, anything that affects your immune system is something that your doctors could consider in terms of trying to provide some relief for seasonal allergies, and whether you have this particular condition or other conditions, seasonal allergies affect all of us. It doesn't discriminate my own kids and so forth. So the bottom line is we need to individualize her. She needs to have a nasal exam, speak with her provider, find out if it's an allergy, is it a sinus infection, is it something else? And it's very clear cut after appropriate testing, evaluation, that we can make a good decision. We have a variety of safe over-the-counter remedies that are on the market that do really great work as far as modifying and reducing and in some cases preventing symptoms from occurring.
And you mentioned there are certain foods we could be eating in the springtime in particular that might be worsening allergies. What are some of those?
That's right. We're referring to something called pollen food syndrome. So Mother Nature has a couple tricks up her sleeve. And what that means is the proteins in certain foods such as fresh fruits, vegetables, spices, and or nuts are chemically similar to what's in pollen. Huh. So during the season, if I decide to eat an apple and bite into that apple, I'll get a little itchiness and it will affect my seasonal allergies because the body thinks I'm eating birch or tree pollen. And because of this cross-reaction, some of the fruits and vegetables might be apple, pear, stone fruits, peach, plum, and so forth.
Things that come from trees.
Yes. Well, it's not the tree, it's the protein that's in these certain fruits and vegetables, carrots, celery, coriander, and a whole host of things in my book that actually can aggravate people with seasonal allergies. For example, we did a special a few years ago at a coffee house, and we found they were grinding hazelnut and fresh almond into the coffee, and that's a no-no if you have that as a trigger for your seasonal allergies, and we refer to that as pollen food syndrome. And the bottom line is you can peel the fruit, avoid it during the season, but some people need to avoid certain fruits during the season, and we identify—
But only during the season.
I'm lucky. I only have the oral allergy symptoms from eating fresh fruits and vegetables now for another 6 weeks. Some people are unlucky and it occurs all year, and my sister's really unlucky because now she's developed a full-blown food allergy to kiwi. So about 1% of the time, it can escalate, and if you're having symptoms that are worrisome, throat tightness and closure, you absolutely need to have an epinephrine auto-injector and see an allergist for a complete program to keep you safe.
Wow. That's a lot to keep track of, I can imagine. Let's go to Naomi in Brooklyn. Naomi, welcome to Midday on WNYC.
Thank you. Hi. I don't have any allergies that I know of, but this year I've been sneezing for the past week. So I was wondering, could that be allergies?
Where are you located, literally? Where in the city
Brooklyn,
are you?
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. So you're right in Brooklyn, New York. And what we've been looking at as allergy forecasts over the last few weeks is a lot of birch and oak pollen with a little bit of maple mixed in. Again, depending where you are, the pollen count is not for your avenue or your street, but it's for the area. We're seeing a lot of people, and I've seen in my practice over the last 2 weeks, people coming in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that have never had allergies before. Kids missing school, coming into urgent care centers for asthma. So clearly, there's something going on with Mother Nature and pollen levels. We do know that if you're tested and we identify whether it's birch or oak pollen, we can really come up with a nice recipe or a calendar and a program to modify, mitigate, and reduce symptoms. So it sounds to me like you might be developing some pollen allergy, and that certainly can be identified and treated successfully and simply.
But this is a big question I've always had. So as an adult, I can be going on with my life, wake up one season, and suddenly I have the allergy. I have an allergy, a seasonal allergy that I didn't have before.
That's right. Typically, if the old days, they'd move to the Southwest and try and get away from the big bad pollens of the East Coast. But they brought their plants with them, and they have people who have allergies in their genes marrying other people. So that was not a successful outcome. However, if you have a sensitivity and you are exposed to a specific pollen, for example, and you may develop symptoms. Typically, it may occur 2 or 3 seasons before the body starts to develop the necessary prerequisite for you to be an allergy sufferer. So it may take some time. It may modify. The only good thing I could tell you about aging is allergies tend, in most people, to dissipate or improve as you get older. Yeah. However, in my practice here in New York City, that's not always the case.
And that's not about a change to the environment. That's about a change to your body, something that's changed
well,
in your body.
Well, there are changes going on to the environment. We know in urban areas, with diesel and other air pollutants, it may have an impact on seasonal allergy expression. We know overplanting of male plants. We also know we're indoors a lot. And the EPA has said that indoor air quality may sometimes be worse than outdoor air quality. So we're looking at ways we can naturally clean our indoor air. For example, many people have indoor allergies, don't realize it. The glass is already half filled. And with the advent of the pollen season, it's spilling over. So we're looking at indoor air quality, outdoor air quality, and ways we can live healthier with Mother Nature and understand how it affects us and our families. And there are always solutions. And that's why the name of my book is The New Allergy Solution, because I feel like there are strategies out there, but I just try and share as much information as I can. And that's the reason I wrote the book, because a lot of great tips over the last 2.5 decades.
The book is The New Allergy Solution, supercharge resistance slash medication, Stop Suffering by Dr. Clifford Bassett. Let's go to Paul in Manhattan. Paul, welcome to Midday on WNYC.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. What's your question for the good doctor?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. What's your question,
okay,
Paul?
Okay, great. I have been eating a local honey called Andrew's Honey. I get it at the farmer's market. And is this psychosomatic that it's helping my allergies, or is there something to it, doctor, that local honey helps fight allergies?
Good question.
This stuff is great.
I'm really glad you raised that, because there are a lot of issues, but to be succinct and answer your question clearly, a good friend of mine and colleagues at the University of Connecticut a few years ago did look at this. They looked at local honey. They looked at store-bought honey, commercial honey, and a variety of products versus placebo, and they could not find any evidence that there was a difference between placebo. There have been some other studies in countries outside the United States where they did show some small differences. The real thing is with allergy, we're talking about wind pollination, and with honey and honeybees, we're talking about insect pollination. With allergies, we're talking about wind pollination. And therefore, it is somewhat different. And most studies have not found that taking honey with a local or commercial board is a successful strategy in really getting your symptom relief kicked in. So I'd say it's not 100% known, but we think that taking honey, whether it be local or store-bought, is not really going to reliably get the job done. And in one large study that I'm very familiar with, they didn't really find a significant benefit. But I hear from people all the time, beekeepers and so forth, that they feel like it does help them. And certainly, it's not a harmful thing, but it may not get the job done. And I'm looking to get the solution for you as far as strategies that I know work.
And
It's also yummy. So, you know, hey, what about when speaking of insects, are there, you know, there's all these insects that sting and cause allergic reaction, wasps, fire ants, mosquitoes. Are they on the rise as well?
According to the NRDC and other groups that look at climate change and the applications for our health, we do see an increase in perhaps stinging insects, tick bites, and that's something I'm talking about every day right now because this is the tick season, mosquito season, how to prevent some of the bad guys. And we have a lot of new tick-borne illnesses, not only in the New York City area, but throughout the country that people need to know about. The key with that, just if I segue for one moment, is if you're having a lot of insect bites, regardless, mosquito bites, pre-treating with an antihistamine can reduce the size of your mosquito bite significantly. However, topical measures, ice, topical cortisone, and so forth is necessary. But the number one thing is the CDC and other health societies have recommended pre-treat with DEET, repellents, and so forth to keep you tick-free and so forth. But we really need to work with Mother Nature and look at your risk. And the bottom line is this. We want to enjoy a spring and summer and beyond. We want to be careful. Take some time to research it. If you're in an area where there's a lot of ticks, Eastern Long Island, Connecticut, you may be exposed to ticks. And one of the big ones now is Lone Star tick in addition to Lyme disease. And that's something that you can actually get and turn you into a vegetarian, because if you have a Lone Star tick bite, many people will develop an allergy to red meat. And that could be something we can talk about a little later on that could be quite scary and go without a diagnosis for a great period of time.
Indeed. We are talking allergies with Dr. Clifford Bassett and his new book, The New Allergy Solution, Supercharge Resistance / Medication, Stop Suffering. We're going to keep taking your calls and your questions, but we're going to take a short break and we'll return to this conversation after that. Stay with us. I'm Kai Wright, and welcome back to Midday on WNYC. We are here talking about allergies. We know that it is a tough, tough, tough thing that all of you have to deal with, many of you have to deal with, and this is the time to sort it out. Spring's come, and it's ruining it for many of us, but we are here with some advice. I'm with Dr. Clifford Bassett, whose book is The New Allergy Solution, Supercharge Resistance / Medication and Stop Suffering. And so he's going to answer your question. He's going to help you figure out how to stay allergy-free. Give us a call, 212-433-9692. Tweet us at MiddayWNYC, and maybe Cliff can help you out. So let's get right to the phones. Michael in Hell's Kitchen. Michael, welcome to Midday on WNYC. What's your question for the good doctor?
Hi, Kai. Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call. My question is in regards to exposure therapy and cat allergies. I've had cat allergies my whole life. I just rehomed two cats recently, and after a year of living with them, I could firmly say I have maybe one reaction every 3 months. I wanted to know the doctor's observations or opinions on exposure therapy.
The best treatment when you have a pet allergy, and again, the country is divided between cat and dog hair. And we do have some research to show when it comes to cat, male cats may actually have more allergy potential than female cats. I'm not sure if your cat is male or female.
They're two males, actually.
Okay. So what we find is sublingual medications, immunotherapy, which are allergy injections, have been around for almost 100 years. It's a very effective way to build tolerance and reduce symptoms over time and hopefully eliminate them. As far as your exposure, again, what you're allergic to, and I don't know if you've been tested or found by skin or blood testing to have a cat or dog or pet allergy, but we don't have any treatments to show or any evidence to show that if you're living with a pet, it will desensitize you like immunotherapy has been shown in hundreds, if not thousands, of studies over the decades. So I'm happy that you're feeling good, but I can't give you any scientific explanation why living with a pet or being near a pet would do this or provide the tolerance without modulating the immune system. And we've been studying immunotherapy with B injections and so forth over many decades in research studies, and we find that they can be safe and very effective for people that can't avoid exposure. Certainly a HEPA air filter is something that's a wonderful thing. I like to think about those as adjunctive help in addition to perhaps antihistamines and other things, but I'm glad that you're feeling well.
And just vacuuming, right? I mean, I'm vacuuming, getting rid of carpet.
Well, the cat hair, for example, is very buoyant, and even if the cat leaves the household for whatever reason, it could remain up to 6 months afterwards. So it's buoyant, so things like a HEPA air filter is a wonderful thing, and I work with the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, and they have a great website with allergy and asthma-friendly certified products, air filters such as Rabbit Air, among other brands, that have HEPA filtration, pet filtration, and they can reduce exposure inside a indoor environment, particularly if you're with your cat. And I know that cats are things that we get attached to our animals, particularly cats and dogs, and I understand that. So I'm glad to hear that you're feeling well, but I can't give you any scientific explanation to support just living with a pet, and hopefully the problem will improve. So the answer is I don't have a good answer for you, but I have an answer for people that seek relief or advice about how to deal with pet allergies safely and effectively.
Thanks for your question, Michael. Is it possible? Is it actually possible to get a non-allergenic breed of a dog or a cat? Is that a real thing?
The bottom line is we don't have a lot of research in this area to know the differences between different breeds. When we test and treat, we're treating for cat allergen or dog allergen, and there are several of those that are important, and we've shown by giving people allergy injection immunotherapy over the years, they're effective, and in many cases, the symptoms will improve significantly, and in some cases, we can actually eliminate symptoms. So it's not a cure. It's a way to improve tolerance. However, I can't tell you if you have this type of dog, you're going to be better off. I always get like, you know, I go to my mother-in-law's, I have a problem, but my pets are fine.
Right.
So the answer is we don't have exact answers about differences in breeds. With cats, it's pretty much the same, but there is some data to show that male cats may cause more cat allergy or sensitivity symptoms versus females. And that's been looked at over the last couple decades. We love our pets, but we want to be healthy and we want to be smart. And yep. If you're symptomatic, you're having allergy symptoms, asthma, see an allergist. My practice is on the east side of Manhattan. We're at Allergy and Asthma Care of New York. And I've been practicing for about 25 years. And we see family members every day coming in with conundrums, whether it be a pet allergy or another allergy. And the key is to have a solution that works for you, that makes sense, and that is ultimately efficient and affordable. And that's really what allergists are doing every day. There's only about 4,000 of us in the entire country.
Oh, wow.
So we really want to work with individuals at risk, educate them, modify when we can, and treat, you know, when we need to. But we're really, especially in my book, my approach over, you know, this many decades, is to do a whole-bodied approach and really look at best ways to focus on the root cause to resolve your symptoms. And I believe it's a fresh approach. And I really like the pie chart. And that's what I do with my patients when they come in and they have individual symptoms, whether it be a cough or chronic hives. We look at all the slices and the pieces and how it comes together and look at all the different things, whether it's infection, sinus structure, the immune system, allergies, the environment, and how it all comes together to create the perfect misery. And allergies are eminently treatable. And that's what I love about an allergist. So you do a little detective work, you work together with our patients, and we come up with solutions that I think make sense and that are affordable.
Right. Let's go to BJ in Sonoma, California. We're going across the country now, Doctor. BJ, welcome to Midday on WNYC.
Hi, good afternoon for you. I've been working up here in the vineyards over the past few years, and a couple of years ago I was attacked by a bunch of wasps. And though I did not have any reaction right away, around a week later after a large meat dinner, I suddenly had an extreme attack of hives from head to toe and fainted and such. Still, I didn't know if it was related to the wasps until last year when I was back in New York in upstate. I was attacked again by wasps, and this time I had immediate anaphylactic shock with the ambulance needing to show up. And my allergist now says I'm a 5 out of 6 in allergy. So my question is, A, why was there such a delay, assuming it is related to my initial attack to the wasps? And B, Is there any, I already got, received half the answer just now from you, but I was just thinking in my case, if you think that it is reversible.
Well, the good news is that we have allergy immunotherapy or venom immunotherapy in the properly selected individual that really requires it that can reduce the risk by as much as 97% or more in terms of worse progressive reactions and life-threatening reactions, which it sounds like you experienced, known as anaphylaxis. With Mother Nature, climate change, we do think the climate to change, and there are more stinging insects, so we're very mindful of risk. You should have at least 2 epinephrine auto-injectors, and you should be evaluated through blood or skin testing to find out the risk and how to mitigate and reduce risk significantly. So the bottom line is the immune system is the letter U. It's unpredictable. Only 4% of us in the entire world have stinging insect allergies causing such reactions as you describe. So it's something that is treatable eminently, and I would advise you to have a proper evaluation because this can be a life-threatening problem that needs to be evaluated and modified promptly, especially now before the stinging insect season, which is our prime season.
What about that week-long delay that the caller mentioned? Why was that delay? What's that about?
I think that's a good question. It isn't certain. And I say the immune system is the letter U. Sometimes there is no exact explanation. However, a proper evaluation, as I mentioned, with an allergist that's an expert on insect allergy stings, testing would indicate the risk, the likelihood, and then testing sometimes isn't done immediately. Sometimes we'll wait 4 to 6 weeks to make sure the quality of the test, but he needs to be protected with epinephrine auto-injectors and an anaphylaxis action plan, which is what we do to try and reduce risk, educate him so he can continue enjoying the great outdoors more safely this season.
More safely, indeed. That's a lot of wasp attacks, by the way, for BJ. So speaking of tests, Fatima, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly there, Fatima, on Twitter asks us, you know, she says that if an allergy test result can't identify what I'm allergic to, and there's been 2 tests already Fatima has had, should they keep trying to get tested, or you know, will it eventually find out, or is this just a lost cause?
Well, as an allergy detective, and many of allergists are also detectives, we take a look at the big picture. The best way to prevent allergies is to choose your parents wisely. So we know that's not going to happen. So we need to look at the environment, her genetics. There's a whole bunch of things we look at. And sometimes we don't come up with an exact answer right away. But we have to have a continuity of care with her provider to identify what's bothering her, whether it's skin allergies, other allergies, and take a look at what we can do in 2018 as far as diagnostic and testing. The blood test, the skin test, food challenges. We have a lot of things that we could do to come up with whether you have a sensitivity, and we need to, you know, deal with it more effectively. However, not everything is an allergy, so without knowing the details of the specifics, I would say it's hard for me to give you a better answer than that, is to take a look at what's been done in the past, review it, see what's happening, and see what the missing link could be. And when I do the pie chart, I try and include those types of possibilities of what I call X-files, that it's not clear yet, but the dialogue should continue so there's a communication that makes sense to her and in terms of providing strategies that she could implement and continue with. And that's what I say is having that relationship with your doctor or an allergy specialist to do that. And not every test is perfect, but the tests are designed to provide answers. And in many cases, I've been gratified over the last couple decades to get those answers for our patients that need them.
And there's a lot of weird stuff, frankly, that you could be allergic to that we don't think about, right? I mean, I gather like glitter, body fluids like sweat. Take sweat, for instance. How are we allergic to sweat, and what can you do about it?
Well, I think the most common things that I see are on the rise are skin allergies. We're seeing people allergic to metal, nickel, and cell phones, costume jewelry, cosmetics, sunscreen, perfumes, and through simple tests called patch tests, if people have eczema, which is an allergic skin disease that causes a horrible amount of itchiness, and they have what they think is a skin allergy or a breakout, we can carefully find out what they're using and whether they're exposing themselves to things that are causing skin allergies we call contact dermatitis. It is on the rise, and things that weren't so common in the last, you know, 50 years are now even increasing their prevalence, such as
why are they on the rise?
Gold and other things that we have not seen in this level of proportion. The answer, again, it goes back to the immune system, is uncertainty. It's ill-defined, but there are issues with more products. Men and women are exposed to 85,000 skincare products in the world. So therefore, we have an opportunity, if we have allergic genes, to develop allergic conditions, and one of those might be allergic contact dermatitis. Now, the most common dermatitis that's allergic is in Mother Nature. It's poison ivy. And by the way, with global climate change, that also appears to be on the rise. However, I have some ideas to prevent them.
Okay.
So there are certain barrier creams that you can get from a dermatologist or online to prevent the poison ivy oil from penetrating into your skin upon exposure. And for example, if I have golfers in maybe Connecticut and New Jersey and so forth, where there's a lot of poison ivy and so forth, we can use barrier creams to put on your skin. You wash them off at the end of the day, and of course you wash off your shirt, your golf clubs, and so forth. Don't bring them into your house, because poison ivy oils can stick around for months and months, and they can get activated easily. So poison ivy is somewhat uncomfortable for many people, and in some people it can be even a very severe reaction where you need to take oral medications to calm things down. But again, seeing poison ivy is impossible. My wife sits on a bench in a party we went to a few years ago in Connecticut, and there was oil there, and a couple days later, it takes usually 2 to 3 days to kick in, an itchy vesicular type rash. Dermatologists and other doctors can identify it. But once you have the condition, we treat with oral medications and topical creams, perhaps for several weeks and longer, to get the job done. So again, certain barrier creams, you could research, speak to your allergist or dermatologist of ways to try and prevent poison ivy from getting on into your skin, washing them off right if you've been outside. Right. And those are all tips that have been around. But there are newer products that are available over the counter as well as through a physician to mitigate and reduce suffering and also try and prevent poison ivy before it kicks in.
And speaking of prevention, you did mention ticks before the break. We're going into the season where we're all going to be out in the woods. We're going to be running around. There's ticks. What is the important prevention thing to know about tick season?
Okay, so we can talk about keeping doors closed and wearing long pants and long sleeves, but that's not always realistic, is it?
No.
So we're talking about prevention, and that means if you're going to be in any area where there's ticks, hiking, eastern Long Island, coastal Connecticut, in these areas where there are ticks upstate, be prepared. CDC New York State has wonderful resources online about the best repellents, whether it be DEET or other insect repellents that are safe. Oil of lemon, eucalyptus, there are natural approaches. Again, when you get a repellent and you see a concentration of DEET, the percentage indicates how long the repellent will last. It doesn't necessarily tell you it's stronger or weaker. Children, they need to be careful how it's applied to younger children, and the American Pediatrics, they have some guidelines on certain levels. But the bottom line is insect repellents are very important.
Yep.
Prime biting times, dawn and dusk. And also my friend, when I was on Dr. Oz last, we talked about the fan. If you have a ceiling fan or a floor fan and you have a mosquito around or in your patio, they can't land on you when you have this nice, cool fan-generated right. wind landing on you. So there are some strategies that seem silly, but they actually can help. The bottom line is protect yourself, whether it be mosquito bites. People can sometimes have severe reactions to mosquito bites called Skeeter syndrome, and that looks like an infection, but it's actually a very bad mosquito bite. And we're seeing that's on the rise. We can't fix it, but we can modify, reduce risk, and I want people to have a bite-free and healthy summer. So some of these tips are on all the websites, CDC, New York State Department of Health, and they have great resources in terms of how to protect you and your family this summer and while traveling.
Let's try to squeeze in one more question from callers Max in Manhattan. Max, we're tight on time, so try to be precise. What's your question for the doctor?
Sure. Hi, doctor. So my fiance, he has his allergies. He has terrible allergies, but they're pretty well controlled, like because we live in Manhattan and he takes Singulair every day. So my question is, though, because he travels very frequently and he goes out to Oregon every summer, and just with the pollen and the trees, it really drives him absolutely crazy. So I was wondering if you had any, suggestions for mitigating allergies while you're traveling.
Absolutely. I have a travel allergy kit, actually. We talk to our patients about nasal saline, the antihistamines, nasal sprays. The nasal corticosteroid sprays over the counter are some of the most effective strategies. A hat, sunglasses. And again, look at the pollen map. You can do pollen forecasting before you go. Find out where you're going to be. And if you happen to have individual allergy testing and you know there's going to be a lot of birch and oak pollen and you're sensitive, you're going to suffer. So the key is be proactive, be preventative, and there's always a solution out there.
and work out. This is one of the prevention things I just want to ask you about in general. You say just like getting exercise and getting sleep can help, right?
Well, I think sleep and wellness and human health is great for our immune system. But again, we need to do a little bit more if we're an allergy sufferer, and I'm one of those. So I include myself in the recipe as well as my kids. The bottom line is, if you're traveling this summer, do a little homework. If you have indoor allergies, sometimes people will take certain pillow covers for their pillow when traveling. You can request allergy-friendly rooms in hotels that are carpet-free, that may be easier on your indoor allergies and so forth. But whether you have indoor or seasonal allergies this year, like I said, do a little homework, come up with some approaches, which I see an allergist, see your doctor. Find out exactly if you have allergies, what type, so we can mitigate, reduce them. And I create an allergy calendar for our patients so they can be properly informed and be proactive before symptoms kick in. That's the ultimate goal. But if you're traveling this summer, there's always something you can do to make it more pleasant, enjoyable, and have a safer experience, particularly if you have allergies. And allergies can be a very major source of quality of life decrease, and that's what it's all about, is feeling better and being smart this season.
Clifford, I can't help but try to squeeze in just one more because this is a really important call. Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to Midday on WNYC. Can you? What's your question for the doctor? Jesse, you'll have to turn off your radio, though. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to miss it. We'll leave it there in any case, doctor. I've been speaking with Dr. Clifford Bassett about his book, The New Allergy Solution, Supercharge Resistance / Medication, Stop Suffering. Thanks for joining us, doctor.
My pleasure.